And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Verse 38, and she, coming in that same instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Just for a few moments, saints, we'd like to consider this thought in mind. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? You know, right now, there's a lot of folks looking for something.
Yeah.
Ain't that right?
That's right?
Amen. When you get to this time of year, there's a lot of looking going on. But looking is can be somewhat of an external narration or definition of something that's happening internally. In other words, looking can be you just seeing someone in a natural way, having their minds or their hearts set towards something in the future. Looking is forward oriented. It's you can look back, but when you're looking, usually you're looking forward. And with this looking, of course, and I certainly, again, we're not being obscure here. We know what we're talking about. You know, you're looking for something, looking for some matter, some gift, amen, that you might receive. But that's not all there is to it. And we try to mention last couple of Sundays, and we're here together, so we can keep a reality check on our hearts about, again, that despite the facts of all the festiveness and all of the things that go on during this time of year, it cannot dismiss or negate the things that people are going through. I mentioned a few things leading to the message, and it was deliberate, not only because it happened and occurred, but in terms of our ministry of our church. But we had, again, the ministry to those, again, who really don't have no place to stay, hardly any place to eat. Then we had those who had, we had ministry to those who had lost loved ones. And even we had a couple of weeks ago, even for the widow who no longer has that spouse there. That still goes on, and no matter how many years go by, they're still happening. Then we had our youth and our young people to go, and basically a lot of things, they were singing these carols, these hymns of the Lord to those who probably couldn't get out to church for the most part. Are you with me here? And even when we come to that ministry to the married couples again, to the marriage enrichment, we know, however, that with that being said, there's a lot of brokenness that's still going on in our society. And let me just put it in all those things that we mentioned, all those things that are happening, all those things that are going on. Let me say this to you today without being a Scrooge, Christmas can't fix it. Amen. There is a sense in which, you know, you can have some sort of salve that can seek to massage the soul, but we know that's only for a minute. Amen. And after the chestnuts finish on those roasting fires, then you're going to go back to what you have. Ain't that right? What you've been living with. But there's something, again, that needs to be asked every time of this year, because sometimes we can lose our moorings as believers. And are y'all with me here? We can forget about the fact that despite what others are looking for, there's something we're looking to. Amen. And that's what's going to keep us right now, because like we said before, we are in this world, but not of this world. But we can still be affected by this world. Ain't that right? There's still pain. There's still hurt. There's still things that go on that affect us just like everybody else. The difference is, however, that the difference is that when this comes up, we are not in looking forward to something, but we are also looking past some things. And so we find here in the Gospel of Luke, this account that has been left for us by the Spirit of God. And he enables us to go back and to rehearse again the first coming of our Lord. Are y'all following me here? And so we look at these accounts, particularly in Luke, and we find that the Lord has already had Gabriel come and announce to Mary about the son that she's going to receive. And not only that, but also was made clear that they would name him Jesus. And so as we go about and look through, and I decide, I would ask you that you will go through this again, saints, on your own time, because we need to salivate and take this in lest we miss the whole import of the story. I know it's not only it's a story, but it's a narration. I'm trying to be careful using the word story, because sometimes, again, that seeks to neuter again what this is about. This is not just a Christmas story, but this is account. This is an historical account of the coming of the Savior into the world. And so, having been born and having been born under the law, there's certain statutes and protocols that the family had to follow. Christ, again, he was so tied to, he was both divine and added a human nature into himself. And yet, even though that's been an effect, they still, Mary and Joseph, still follow the things that they're supposed to. They were devout people. Are you following me here? They were devout people. And so consequently, when Christ was born, they had to follow certain things that were responsible for them as being under the law. So in chapter 2, the Bible says after Christ had been born, it says when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus. Remember, that was his giving name. Amen. His name was given to him because it spoke towards of what his mission was. They said, call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And so while that was done and they had taken care of that matter, the Bible said, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, was accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the law, to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Are y'all following me here? And so as Mary and Joseph had this child and they had to do, they did everything that the law said should be required. So having again accomplished the purification time for Mary after having had the child, they then take the child up and make their way to the temple. Are y'all following me here? They said, when they go to the temple, it says they come with a sacrifice, according to which the law of the Lord said a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, significant about that, because if in fact they were well off, they would have to bring a lamb. But they didn't have as much, then if they were too much in poverty, then they'd have to do something else. But this shows us again here, they said they brought two turtle doves and two young pigeons. Now, you're with me here. Now, it's not just two because it's one for Joseph and one for Mary, but it's two because, watch, one was a burnt offering and one was a sin offering. Y'all ain't get that. One was a burnt offering and one was a sin offering. Now, watch it here. They didn't bring an offering for Jesus. They bring an offering for themselves. Y'all ain't getting that. See, that baby that was born, he was born without sin. Mary was born in sin. But are y'all with me? The reason why Christ was not tainted because he was conceived by the Holy Ghost. And that shows you again the humanity. However, also the fact that Mary, she was not the mother of God. She was just the mother of Jesus. So when Jesus was born, they brought him to the temple to offer him up as was said in the law. But they brought the sacrifice. They had to bring one for themselves. So they brought him in and said, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. He was the same man, was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Are y'all following me here? I need you to follow me so you can follow this. And I want you to understand this is providential. That means that the things that are occurring now, if you could just go with me. Watch this here. Simeon had been waiting all his life for the fulfillment of the promise. Are y'all with me now? We are so fast and so quick and so much in a hurry in our society and culture today. Anytime anybody mentions it, we can't wait. We are full of anxiety. We're looking for something. Are you with me now? Anxiety is worry. Now, anxiety could be worry, but also has another tenet. Anxiety could mean you can't wait for something to happen. Are you with me? But then anxiety also can lead to anticipation. Y'all ain't following me. anxiety can lead to anticipation. First of all, you're anxious about what's up ahead, and then the anticipation means you are so deeply looking forward to it. But let me tell you something. When it comes to what the world is talking about, and to some degree what is happening out in society, that's where it all ends. You can have anxiety, anticipation, but you don't have hope. Because hope is an earned expectation. It's an anticipation for good. They say, well, I got hope. There's a difference between hope that the Bible talks about and wishful thinking.
Right.
You can say, I hope it works out. I hope it happens. But that's what man does. Well, when the hope comes from God, it's something that's sure, certain, and is going to happen in God's own good time. And I want you to know, Simeon, this man, and notice this here, that Simeon, as he began to go to the temple, as the law had said, Simeon, he was having a priestly ministry. Come on here now. Mary and Joseph came to the temple to offer up Jesus to the priests in the temple. They came to dedicate the Son of God. They came to give him to the hands of Simeon, and Simeon got the baby. He lifted him up to the Lord. Can y'all look at this here? Can you look at this? Here come Mary and Joseph bringing Jesus, the one in whom they sang about. They called him Christ the Lord. They brought him to the temple, put him into the hands of the priest. Amen. The priest then lifted him up to God. Y'all ain't hear me? They took the Son of God and lifted him up to the Father. Y'all ain't looking at this. And all the while, Jesus was letting them do it. He was letting them do it. Even as a baby, he knew who he was. He knew where he came from, but he humbled himself, allowed his parents to put swaddling clothes on him, take him to the temple, give him to the priest. Wait a minute. He made everybody, but he let everybody handle him.